not a notebook, it's a PowerBook.
What's the difference?
Well, this thing's like nothing ever was. It has my whole life in it.
What do you mean?
So wherever we go, we always stay connected. Everyone in sales has one now.
My expense reports, invoices, order forms.
It's a great way to meet girls.
Look at that resolution on that.
Yeah, it's really
nice. Hardly weighs anything.
I can fax from any phone. It's very comfortable.
This lets me do it.
Whole nine yards.
Everything else is a dinosaur. Can I try it?
No.
PowerBook from Apple.
Cassie Bat 30 plus minute op conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Arifon Elijah. Join me today, coming to us live from Cultimac World Headquarters in the heart of the beautiful Poo City, USA. Leander Caney is here.
Hello, Arifon.
Also with us, he's also in the Cultimac office, and he's likely the only one actually doing any work. Lewis Wallace is here.
Hey! Just scraping off the poo.
Well, you know, you aren't Poo City like USA. Also with us, in the early morning, you might find him asleep beneath the stoop of your favorite shop, Buster Heine is here.
Hey.
But no longer. You're back in Phoenix.
Yeah, I'm in Phoenix for a bit.
So that joke doesn't really work anymore because you're not sleeping covered in newspapers in the stoops of businesses anymore.
No, sorry.
So what's the deal? Is van life over?
No, I'm just here for a weekend to pick up some things.
Oh, so you're still participating in van life?
Yeah.
Still dancing on top of the van deck on the roof?
Yep.
Late into the night?
Getting
into
wild.
The hours of the morning?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. So what's the next destination then, Buster?
I don't know yet. Probably New Mexico.
Where?
Ooh, New Mexico.
New Mexico.
Back to where it all started.
Yeah, the homeland.
Roswell?
No, I would never visit Roswell. That place is garbage.
You mean it's beautiful and lovely?
No, it's
to all of our
garbage.
Roswell listeners.
Yeah.
But it gets so much tourism. Doesn't it have to kind of be nice to attract people?
No, it just has to attract weirdos who want to go see an alien ship crash landing that doesn't exist.
Oh, man, I bet there's a lot of weird people out there, huh?
So many weird people.
Isn't that where the reported alien crashing happened and then Area 51 like took the parts and the alien bodies and moved them to Area 51 or something?
Yeah, something like that, pretty much. Exactly like
so,
that.
So it gets lots of the weird alien types.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Alex E. Heath lurking around there?
Yes, quite a few times, actually. I think they made clones of him.
Probe me again, oh great ones! I heard he was hollering that at the sky.
Poor Alex.
Teach me your ways! All right, here we go. Let's get some Apple stuff on the docket here. How about that? So here's what we got for you guys this episode. We're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to start off with a story that I thought was very interesting. Something very strange is going on with the Mac. Strange indeed. We're going to talk about that. And then MacBook Pro Touch Bar. Our brutally honest opinions. I realize the Touch Bar came out, 3.5 years ago? But I just got my first Touch Bar, and I've been trying to use it for the last 30 days. And I just want to know what you guys think about it. Are you using it? Is it the real deal? Is it a gimmick? I want to know what your thoughts are. I'll also tell you why. Here's my theory. Apple's October media events, it could be totally wild. And I mean crazy. I mean new Macs galore. I'll tell you why I think that. And if we're going to get invitations, those invitations are probably going to come out any day now. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We're going to wrap up the show early so that we can do a Cultcast second hour. I had on resident hacker and weird guy, Charlie Sorrell, Cultimac. What does he do at Cultimac, Leander?
He's the how-to's editor.
He's the how-to's guy. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Because I had a conversation with him, a great conversation, about the new Shortcuts app and Siri Shortcuts in iOS 12.
He loves that kind of stuff. Charlie, like, if there was a simple way to do it, he'll invent some completely convoluted, extremely complex way to do something. And it'll work, but it'll be like involve, you know, all kinds of different kind of IFTT and weird stuff. But he knows his stuff. He's interested in doing it.
Yeah, he likes diving into that stuff and figuring out how to make it work.
Yeah.
And so I thought I knew what Siri Shortcuts was, and I thought I knew a little bit about how to make it work. But I learned a bunch of stuff in this episode with him, and we talk about what Siri Shortcuts is, what Shortcuts is, how to use it practically in your own life. So if you have any interest in learning about how to put the power of shortcuts and Siri shortcuts to work for you, and these are all features that you're probably not using in iOS 12, stay tuned for that discussion with Charlie. That will be played right after this episode ends. You don't have to go anywhere. And it will just start mere moments after the Cultcast ends. Okay, before we dive into this something very strange about Mac story, let me say thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. I use Squarespace for all of my website needs, and I don't get it for free. I've been paying for it for years. I pay full price just like everybody else. I love it because it makes my websites look great, but they were simple to set up, and I never have to do anything to maintain them. They are... Can I use this without getting sued? Set it and forget it. It's just set it and forget it, baby. You get the website, you get it set up, and you never have to worry about it again. They're completely hassle-free, and everything is drag and drop, but totally customizable. So you can set up your website quickly, make it look uniquely yours. And if you want, you can bring in contributors to help you add new content. Plus, Squarespace is constantly adding new features and integrations to make your website even better. It's truly the most hassle-free website I've ever used, and that's why I keep using it. So if you're thinking about promoting yourself online, your skills, maybe you're looking for a job, maybe you're a designer or something, maybe you have a business you want to promote or an event, maybe you're getting married, you're going to have a bat mitzvah, something, you want to tell everyone about the big party you're having, check out squarespace.com/cultcast. Squarespace.com/cultcast. Play around with it, build a site. If you like what you have, after your trial ends, use code cultcast at checkout. You'll save 10% off your first order. Squarespace.com/cultcast, and the code to use at checkout is cultcast. Okay, let's talk about this big decline in Mac sales in Q3, despite new MacBook Pros coming out. This is strange. Normally in Q3, Macs sell very well because, let's see, Q3 measures what? July, August, September. That's when kids are going back to school. Apple has their big back-to-school promotion. And yet, in the third quarter of this year, Mac sales dropped significantly, even though new computers were coming out. And the notebooks are arguably, I think, much more popular than any of the other Macs that Apple sells. They sell a ton of notebooks. So if anything is going to sell well, it should be the new notebooks that they released, the new MacBook Pros. According to market research firm Gartner, there was an 8.5% decline in the third quarter this year over last year. So we have the new MacBooks. We have college kids shopping for MacBooks. Macs aren't selling well. Leander, any thoughts on why there's such a huge drop in Mac demand in one of their supposedly supposed to be one of their most popular quarters of the year?
Because they cost, an arm and a leg.
I didn't think that you were going to say that. That's what I think, too. I mean, there's a story here that we'll talk about in a second about how Apple's not updating their Macs. But I think that the price has gotten to be so high that people are just starting to look elsewhere for computers. I think that's one of the reasons.
Well, there's a lot of negative press around them, too, which I don't know if that... It may be suppressing sales. I'm not 100% convinced. I don't know. I'm not sure. But, all the complaints about the keyboards, just all the sort of buzz about how they're not good value for money.
Reliable? Oh. It seems to be pretty well known that the earlier MacBook Pros have had keyboard issues.
Yeah, the reason I said it wasn't, because I think there's an Apple bubble, that we inhabit that I'm not really sure bleeds out into the mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
It may do, but I don't, I'm not sure that, someone like my wife, I don't think she's aware that, there's a lot of complaints about the keyboard, and that would affect it. If she's going to buy a new Mac, I don't know if she, if she would have heard about that. I mean, I guess she would have done if she did some research, though. I mean, if anyone does any searching around, that's one of the first things they're going to turn up.
Or if you ask a friend who knows anything about Apple, that's one of the first things they're going to tell you about.
I would say also, people put their money into, the new phones. I mean, if you're looking for a new device, I think, top of the list is a new phone rather than a new laptop. So, I would say my guess would be that, that Apple's cannibalizing itself with iPhones.
It's interesting. I mean, who knows what the actual reason is, but I think it could be a confluence of things. I mean, the keyboard issues, I had that down as a note. The lack of updates, which we'll talk about here in a minute. I mean, Apple is just not updating any of their Macs very often. And For instance, the MacBook, as of today, as of this recording, it's been 493 days since they've updated that. 493 days. People are smart when they're spending as much money as Apple's asking for these computers to know if they're getting something that has current technology, and to spend that much money on something that is a year and a half old when other companies, computer companies, are updating their computers, you know, twice a year, at least once a year. I think would make many people hesitant. Now, this could just be me. I know I've been bitching about this for years, literally years. The lack of practical ports, the fact that you only have these darned Thunderbolt 3 USB-C ports and only four. You don't get an SD card slot, which is a huge omission. You don't get USB-A. I mean, if I were looking at a computer that cost this much and I didn't know anything about Apple and I was looking at things that were offered in the PC world, you get a lot of practicality in the PC world. You get a lot of ports that you need, and their computers tend to be less expensive. Now, you could argue, well, they're not as high quality. Okay, fine. But you're getting something that's more practical for your everyday purposes, and you may not notice that it's not as high quality. You may not notice that the SSD isn't the fastest SSD in the entire computer ecosystem. Many people don't care about those kinds of details. And then, of course, the price. I feel like I've hit maximum Apple device price threshold. Like I used to be much more inclined to upgrade more often, but their stuff is so expensive now that it really makes me hesitant to throw down my money, and it makes me scrutinize what they are offering much more from a value proposition level, because they're just commanding such a high price. I mean, my MacBook Pro, I've said before on the show, this new one that I just got was $3,350, and that was on sale. It's normally $3,600 for a laptop.
Yeah, it's definitely not an impulse buy.
Right, and the iMac Pro, which is their other most current computer, starts at $5,000. So that's a lot of money for a computer.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they're selling all my kids are in college, you know, like I'm looking around. I dropped them all off at school, and all the kids have got MacBooks, you know, all mm-hmm. new MacBooks. But they don't have MacBook Pros. They have, you know, the lower end MacBooks and the MacBook Airs. And I think the lack of updates at the lower end for that kind of, you know, that sort of more volume crowd, I think has been hurting.
Yeah, and it could just be that. So the MacBook hasn't been updated in 493 days. That goes the same for the iMac. That goes the same for the MacBook Air. So there you have two of the most popular computers, the ones that are the most affordable, the ones that people would actually buy, the ones that students would actually buy. And then you have the real joke. The Mac Mini hasn't been updated in 1,456 days. The Mac Pro hasn't been updated in 1,757 days. That's almost 5 years. 5 years for both of those computers, which Apple is still asking full price for. That is a joke.
I was just going to say, though, you know, my daughter, she's still using the computer that I gave her when she went to college, you know, like more than 4 years ago. And that was a couple of years old when I gave it to her. So she's using like a 5-6-year-old MacBook Air, you know, that's still going strong.
That's another thing I was going to say about this. I mean, one reason they aren't selling so many is that they last a long time. I mean, I've had multiple Windows PCs during my lifetime, and none of them have lasted as long as these MacBooks.
Oh, yeah, definitely not. You know, that's another good point. Everything on these computers are digital now, and so they have fewer points of failure. My 2013 MacBook Pro that I recently stopped using to switch to this 2018 model, it was still working great. The only reason I wanted to update it is because I was doing more video work, and I wanted a better processor, I wanted more RAM, and I wanted a larger SSD as well, and so I decided to make the move. But I honestly went back and forth. I thought about using that computer for another year, because they have such longevity now. They work well for years and years and years. I was talking to Charlie, and he's still using his 2010 MacBook Pro.
Jeez.
Which is totally insane. It's an 8-year-old computer. He switched out the hard drive for a SSD, and it gave the computer new life, which is something that I did as well. And so he's just using that. Of course, he's also trying to use his iPad still as his main machine, which is totally nuts. You know, with IFTTT and all the ridiculous hacks that he spends, you know, 6 hours a day maintaining just to get to work the way he expects. But so I don't know what's going on with the Mac, it could just be the simple fact that these aren't being updated as often as people would like. But that's a huge drop, an almost 10% drop in one of Apple's, generally one of their more busier quarters sales-wise, to have a huge drop. And all the other computer manufacturers making laptops, desktop systems, they all saw increases in sales in this same quarter. That's a strange thing. So you have HP, you have Dell. They're seeing increases in sales in this quarter, but Apple has seen a huge decrease.
Well, they've been seeing decreases, though, haven't they, for a good long time? Yeah, Apple was the only one that was actually growing, wasn't it? The PC market share?
Right. And, for like years now.
Yeah, for a long, long time. So this is kind of like an anomaly, isn't it? You know, that they're increasing their sales.
And Apple is decreasing? Yeah. That's why I thought this was so strange, because this is generally, it's inverted. This is not the way that we normally see it happen. It's usually the other way around, like you said. So I don't know what's going on, but I do think this scenario sets us up for a totally wild and insane October media event. We might see the entire Mac line updated. I mean, can you imagine Apple not updating their MacBook, their iMac, their MacBook Air, the iPads for the Christmas season? No way. They're going to have to do something. And it would be strange, I think, for them to do an iPad event and not announce any new Macs, just to have an event for the iPad. That would be weird. New iPads, y'all? Tim Cook leaves the stage? I don't think so. They're going to have to do something else. And I saw on Twitter, some people were saying, well, maybe they'll just release the iPads without doing an event. There's no way they're going to release an iPad with a new form factor with Face ID and do away with Touch ID and not have an event for that. Am I right? There's no way they would do that.
I don't know. You just haven't heard any, like, rumors of an actual event, even though everybody assumes there's going to be one. You haven't heard of, like, a report that it's going to be on this date. Because it should be, like, either on the 16th or 23rd or 30th of the month, which it's already too late for the 16th. So it'd have to be the 23rd or 30th, which means, like, event invites have to go out really soon for one of those.
Yeah, they'd have to go out by next week,
yeah,
I think.
Probably.
I just can't imagine them going into the holiday season with no updates on their... That would be totally insane. That would be totally insane. Like, I would really start to question... You all know that I hold Tim Cook in the highest regard. I revere the man. But if he lets that happen, I'm going to start questioning his sanity. Well, they might need to put him in a straitjacket and send him to one of those hospitals.
I think,
because that's a totally insane move. You have got to update your product line before Christmas.
I don't think they won't update it. I just think there might not be an event. Like, maybe they, instead of having a big event for the Macs and iPads, just already give them to the press and have, like, more of a softer launch like they've done in the past for some updates.
And just do, like, a spec bump.
Yeah, but with the new iPad, it's going to be a new design, so you'd think they would want to show it off on stage.
That's the thing. Has Apple ever released a new design and not had an event for it, Leander? I don't think that has ever happened in their history.
When they've done a new design for a product?
For any product. They always have an event when they release a newly designed product.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been in Apple journalism since 1946, right?
Before I was born, yeah.
So you've been around. You've seen what they've done.
Think, you know, occasionally they've sneaked stuff out, but usually it's been a spec bump.
Exactly. So I think they're going to have an event sometime soon. I think the invitations are going to go out probably any day. Hey, maybe let's see here. Maybe, let's see, today's Thursday.
Well, you were saying October 25th for the event, yeah?
Yeah.
So maybe by next Tuesday. By next Tuesday, we need to see invitations go out. Because how many days do they normally give press?
Usually at least
to make
week.
Their arrangements? A week?
Yeah, sometimes 10 days.
Okay, 10 days.
Yeah,
okay, so that means that they would need to let people know by, I don't know.
Sometime between now and next weekend, or next Friday.
That'd be cutting it pretty close.
Yeah, if there's no event by invite by next Friday, then there's definitely not going to be one, I think.
I mean, could they do one in November?
They could.
Would that be totally bizarre? Unprecedented, I think?
It'd be really late in the season, because usually they have everything announced like a whole quarter before the last quarter, or like right before the last quarter starts.
Well, we're going to find out. We're probably mere days away from one of the wildest, craziest Apple events of all time. is that hyperbole?
Wow.
Did I take that too far?
A little bit, yeah.
Maybe. But it would be if they did all of the computers that I mentioned before, and then they also dropped new Mac Mini and maybe, just maybe, the Mac Pro, which they've been working on. We know they've been working on it. We know they've been working on the Mac Mini. I don't know if it's too early to release or to announce what they've been working on. Probably for the Mac Pro, probably not for the Mac Mini. So we could see that at the event in October. But they got to get their act together. That's all I'm saying. Okay, let's talk about the MacBook Pro Touch Bar. Lewis, you have one. Leander, you have one. Mm-hmm. Buster, I forget. Do you have one?
No, I don't want one.
Okay, have you played with one?
No, they look horrible.
Yeah, I think they look amazing. But my question was, are they actually useful in any way, or are these really a gimmick? I know this topic's going to make some people mad. They don't like when we ask these kinds of questions, but I think we have to be honest. I've been using mine for 30 days now. I've drawn some conclusions, and I wanted to know what your experiences have been with the Touch Bar, Lewis or Leander. Are you guys finding that you're actually using it? What do you like about it? What do you not like about it? How's it working for you so far? Leander, care to share?
I don't use it very much, to be honest. I sort of forget it's there. I was using it, I use it for word processing, and I find the auto suggestions kind of useful. But you have to keep looking, you keep looking from the keyboard to the touch bar, the keyboard to the touch bar. So it's not the easiest thing to use. It's not as easy as using, auto suggestions on your iPhone, because, when they're right there, right in front of you. I hate to say it, but, I tend to pick up my iPad at home instead of my MacBook. The kids use it more than I do.
The MacBook?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I haven't really given it a good test drive, mm-hmm. even after, owning it for how long have we had it now, Lewis? A couple of years.
I've used it once or twice.
Right.
I know. It's in theory, it's a great thing. And when I happen to think about it and look down at my fingers, which I never do because I'm a touch typist, it's like, oh, I could do that. Once in a while it works. But, honestly, the only thing I ever even use that strip for is Touch ID, which is awesome. But
yeah, right.
Every other aspect of it is like, oh, yeah, I should get in the habit of, and then 3 months later, oh, yeah, maybe I should try. I don't know. I have not found any of the apps that I use to be that useful. And I know what you're saying about that autocomplete, Leander. It's like somehow it's just, even though it's just right below the screen, just not that visible.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you kind of feel like you're constantly having to take your hands away from your keyboard and change interaction inputs or input methods, and it doesn't feel like it's as efficient as just doing things on the keyboard sometimes. And that has been my experience with it so far. Is I was withholding judgment. I was like, I need to try to use this with Final Cut Pro, and I need to try to use it with Logic, because those are the applications that they tout as having the most benefit with the Touch Bar, because the Touch Bar surfaces the shortcuts that you're going to want to use when you're creating a podcast, creating a YouTube video, what have you. So I've done those things now. And what I've found is using the Touch Bar is often slower than just using the keyboard shortcuts. And the shortcuts that they're trying to surface for people are usually faster to do. Well, if you are experienced in Logic, if you are experienced in Final Cut Pro, you're going to be much quicker doing the keyboard shortcuts than taking your hands off of the keyboard and then going to the Touch Bar and using the shortcuts there, because you're not taking your hands off the keyboard. And so the benefit of the Touch Bar is greatly diminished because you're already used to using keyboard shortcuts. So why would you waste your time trying to use a Touch Bar in those applications? And as far as other uses in other applications, I just haven't really seen any compelling uses of the Touch Bar yet. I've tried to use it, and I often find myself thinking, okay, the shortcuts it's presenting to me here really aren't that useful. It would be just as fast for me to use like the trackpad or to use the keyboard to accomplish any of these shortcuts that it's surfacing for me. And it actually, in some interactions, I find it to be a lot slower than just the normal buttons that were at the top. Because for right now, for instance, I'm looking at my MacBook Pro and the touch bar is asleep. So I have to, like, first of all, I have to tap it for it to come on. And then it shows me a contextual series of icons. And if I want to change the volume, instead of just tapping volume up, volume down, like you can on the previous generation keyboards, I have to tap a volume button, and then it brings up a slider. And then I have to use a button to take the volume up and down. So it introduces more clicks into the process. So I find it to actually be more cumbersome in some respects than just having the buttons that I normally would use on my last MacBook Pro. So I'm kind of leaning at this point, like, it's just a total, this is going to sound harsh. It's kind of a total gimmick, and it's not really useful in any situation that I have found so far. Now, I know there are probably people listening to this show who are not happy to hear that, and they probably have found some genius, brilliant use of the touch bar. I would genuinely like to hear from you. Like, right. What are you actually using it for? I really genuinely am curious, because for my purposes, and again, I'm using this for video production and for audio production, and even in those situations, I don't think the touch bar adds any value whatsoever. In fact, it often slows me down.
Whoa.
Did I just drop I drop the mic?
Yeah.
Ooh. I'm not even going to play the music. I'm just going to stop the podcast right here. But you guys agree with me. That's the thing, is you guys kind of feel the same way.
Yeah, and plus, you know, as I've said many, many times, I can't sit and type on, you know, I use the laptop all day, but I use a different keyboard, right? So it's all it's way off to the side. That's part of the reason why I don't use it. I don't sit in a cafe with my laptop and at my fingertips, you know?
Because you're using a secondary keyboard.
Yeah, and I've got a giant screen in front of me, and the MacBook is off, you know, a foot off to the side. So, I mean, that sort of makes it useless. You know,
yeah,
for me,
well, if you don't
anyway.
Have it in front of you, that definitely makes it hard to use. And another point to your point about it, about having not really tried to use it, Leander, I kind of feel like if it were useful, if it really genuinely were useful, you wouldn't have to force yourself to use it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, wouldn't you just naturally start to use it and think that it was useful?
Yes and no, because I've got terrible, terrible computing habits. Like, unlike Charlie, you know, I won't invent, dig around to find new ways to do things. Like, I do things the same way for years, if not decades, you know? And I know they're completely inefficient and stupid, really, you know? But they're habits, you know? And I'm stuck in them. You know, some stuff I've learned how to do, but I look at all these productivity, you know, apps, and there's definitely a class of people. There's definitely certain kind of users that love to work out more efficient ways to do things. And in fact, you know what you're going to be talking about with the shortcut stuff. You know, like the shortcuts thing, the amount of mental effort it takes to figure out a shortcut, set it up, to figure it out. You know, I just can't be bothered. I'd rather do it the old way, even though I know it's inefficient. You know,
right? Because you don't investigate. You don't have to learn a new way of setting things up and getting it going just so you can be more efficient later on down the road.
Yeah, right.
And that's exactly what Charlie prides himself in. Like, if it takes him, I think he even said this, like, if it takes him 2 hours to figure out how to make something more simple down the road, he'll spend the time up front to do that. Yeah. And actually, I'm kind of the same way.
Right.
See, I like trying to figure out how to do things more efficiently so I can save time later.
Yeah. See, I think we're two complete. I think this is a fundamental divide, isn't it, between the two different types of users. I think you know that there definitely are two types of computer users. And you see this all the time with all these productivity apps. You know, with Hazel and what was the one I was looking at today? Alfred. Oh, you were saying, wasn't you?
Said
oh, you
had man, some I've been Alfred? Using Alfred. Oh, my.
I looked at Alfred,
baby.
I'm like, there's no way. I'm not going to do any of this stuff. Forget it. But you love that kind of stuff, right? You've dug into it.
Even Alfred, though, I find to be overwhelming. And it has so much functionality packed into one app that even I'm finding myself going cross-eyed. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff in there that makes computing much faster. And I'm enjoying playing around with it and tinkering with it. Yeah, but it's packed full of stuff for sure.
Right.
But one other thing I was going to mention, and this could be a way that Apple could improve the usability of the touch bar. Well, a couple things. A, have it always be on. I don't want to have to tap multiple times to turn up the volume. You know, I want it to just always be on, so I can just hit the volume button and have it go up and down. And right now it's asleep again, so I have to tap it just to wake it up first before I can do anything else. The second thing is, and more importantly, they need to add some type of haptic feedback into the touch bar. Because I find that oftentimes when I touch it, I'm not totally sure if it realizes that I touched a button because it doesn't give me any type of feedback whatsoever. And so I'm left sitting there thinking, did that work? Do I have to tap it again? And so I just get annoyed. There needs to be some type of like, bzz, bzz, bzz. You know, when you tap it, it should
give you some haptic feedback
in the finger, just like exactly, just like the touch, shock just like you. The touchpad does. Or it should shock you. Yeah, that would be the ideal scenario. And that way you know that the computer actually is registering your input.
Well,
hopefully Apple figures out a better way to use the touch bar, but it's been 3 years already. 3 years, and it still doesn't seem to be all that useful. What were you gonna say, Liam?
Nothing. I was gonna say, you know, the adjusting the volume is the one thing I do use it for, and I don't find it that onerous.
On my old MacBook Pro, the volume button was right there. I have a volume up, a volume down, and on this one, I could be in a totally different contextual set of icons. So first of all, I have to navigate over to the volume icons, and then I have to touch the volume button, and then I have to wait for the menu animation to open up the volume slider, and then I can press up or down, or I can slide. It's just too much.
Yeah, I think I'm making a big deal out of nothing.
Come on. It takes like 5 minutes to change the volume on your MacBook Pro now. It used to take 2 seconds.
I'm
now,
sure Charlie can figure out some shortcut for you.
Yeah, Charlie has an IFTTT connected to his Siri commands.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Being run through his Amazon ECHO. And it's all controlled from his
watch,
iPhone.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, just a thought. I would love to know what you guys think. If you're in the very exclusive cult club, I'll be in the governor's lounge. I would love to discuss this with you over a nice pipe. Or you can tweet at me at Airfon, ERFON. Let me know how you're using it. I really do want to know what people are actually using this thing for, because I kind of feel like at this point it's kind of like a big gimmick that actually isn't worth the extra money that Apple's forcing you to pay, you know, and you're not even using it. Okay, let's wrap up with this. Buster,
boom.
Apple plans to give away its $1 billion in TV shows.
Yeah, freebies for everybody. If you own an iPhone or an Apple TV or an iPad, I guess you're going to get Apple's awesome family-friendly content that's going to be devoid of gratuitous sex and profanity, because Apple's giving it away for free and he won.
Well, there goes Leander.
Yeah, he's not just like,
I want to watch dribble. Nicktoons.
Yeah.
Actually, you like family-friendly content. Like that show that you were talking about previously, Leander, about the two British guys who just walk around the beach and metal detect stuff.
Yeah, the detectors, yeah.
That's like right up Apple's alley. That would be a perfect show for them to release.
That's right, yeah. That's true.
So I think it's interesting that Apple is only getting behind PG content. And the part of the story that I thought was interesting is they said that it was because Apple is making the shows available for free.
Right.
So they want it to be PG. But is that really why? I thought I remembered reading that Tim Cook was just not okay with Apple supporting television that had graphic violence, sexual content, so on and so forth.
I think it's two things. Like, yeah, they want to protect the brand image, you know, have it be more Disney than Fox, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But also, the story mentioned, because they're giving it away for free, they don't want to, like, come into any problem with, like, regulations or something, or FCC, mm-hmm. I don't know, for, like, having, mm-hmm. like, graphic content on a free platform or something. I don't know.
Well, it's cool that they're not going to be charging for it, because we had a lot of recent or previous stories that said they're going to be charging a fee for it, or it might be included as part of your Apple Music subscription or something like that, which, dude, they're so far behind. I don't know if they could charge for like a Netflix type video.
Not now, but they will service. In the future for sure.
Yeah.
You think they'll start off as free and then have like a premium tier?
Yeah, this is a freemium play.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that. So if you want the free content or the rated PG content, that's free, y'all. But you want that Skinemax, y'all?
That would make sense.
$9.99 a month, y'all. One more thing. Yeah, if you want to see that nipple vision, that's going to be $9.99 a month. That's where all the good Apple content's going to be. Yeah, I think you're right, Leander.
Right. Well, then, you know, the credit card will, you know, confirm your age and that kind of thing, too, you see.
Exactly. Oh, Tim Cook, he's brilliant. He's going to get this service up off the ground.
You were just saying you needed to be put in a straitjacket 2 minutes ago.
I changed my mind. He's won me over. Clearly, this strategy is going to... It's going to be the one that makes me not care about the Macs not having been updated in the last 3 years, but still having a full price tag. Okay, well, I know it seems like we're cutting the show short here, even though I think we went like 40 minutes, but let's go ahead and wrap it up there because I got to play this real fantastic interview with Charlie Sorrell. We're going to be talking all about Siri shortcuts. It's shortcuts. Siri shortcuts explained. Did you want to know what it is, how to use it? Well, that's exactly what we're going to be talking about. And I'll just tell you right now, the end gets real weird. Real weird, because Charlie Sorrell's a real weird guy. And now I remember why we don't have him on the show. anyway, that's all the cool guests we have for you guys this week. If you want to come tell us how you're using your MacBook Pro Touch Bar, we're all on Twitter. I'm at Airfon. Leander's L. Caney. Buster's BST3R. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. This has been the CultCast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CultCast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys in mere moments. 15 seconds from now, I'll be back, and I think you're really going to enjoy yourself. Until the end, where it gets real awkward.
Cannot wait to hear this.
Why are you doing what? It's actually going to be a separate piece of audio.
I'm just going to air it at the end of the show.
Okay, so you're going to cut it in, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Nice segue. Exactly. Like,
yeah.
What? What's that?
You're going to cut this out too, right?
No.
What?
Hello, Gav.
No, I can't hear you.
What?
Maybe, I should be able to hear you. I can hear myself. Oh, wait. Say something now?
Hello, God.
Yeah, I got you. I didn't have my USB return turned on.
Oh, my what gosh.
Amateur. What an amateur.
How long has it been since you've done a podcast?
A very long time.
Oh, it's been so long since I've heard your rich, delicious voice.
I've been...
Years.
It's been really a long time.
Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Okay. Great. Well, I'm going to use the first part of the show anyway, so it's not like we're doing some fancy introduction. You're the guy that likes to dig into stuff and figure out how it works. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about Siri shortcuts today. What is it? What is Siri shortcuts? There's probably a lot of people who have heard about it, who listen to the show, but don't know exactly what it does. We're going to talk about why it's so gosh darn exciting. And then here's what I want to know. What are some practical ways that I can use it in my own life? Because I've been trying to use Siri shortcuts. Dude, it's not intuitive. In fact, it's kind of confusing and esoteric. I'm looking at all these different actions that you can create, and it's not even clear to me how to access all the different actions that you want to build into a Siri shortcut because some of them aren't surfaced within the app. Anyway, I'm already going on a tangent. Let's start from the top. What is Siri shortcuts?
That's part of the problem is it's not just one thing. So the first thing is, the most useful thing is it's the old workflow app that Apple bought a few years ago, which is like a version of Automator from the Mac, but for iOS. Mm-hmm. And that was done by a third-party developer, and it's super cool. And it had kind of, but then Apple bought it last year or so.
And shuttered it, right?
They kept it going, and they even kept updating it with adding new workflows. But then now it's gone. As soon as the official shortcut launch shortcuts came out, they ditched the old one. In fact, I've got two. I don't know why I've got two workflow apps on my iPad, and I can launch both of them. They're exactly the same. It's a bit confusing. Anyway,
that is confusing.
They added more like deep ties in there. It can really kind of get into the system and do stuff that the workflow app couldn't do. So that's one thing. But then the thing that everyone is talking about more is Siri shortcuts, which is like, well, you can tell Siri to do something and it does it. Well, in theory. I mean, it's just as reliable as Siri used to be, but now there are more things to go wrong. But the
I keep calling it Siri shortcuts. It's just shortcuts. And the app, you can also use it with Siri. That's a more accurate way of describing it, right?
Shortcuts is the app. Siri shortcuts is if you go into the settings and look under Siri and search, I think it is, there's a shortcuts section. And in there, there's a whole bunch of suggestions of things that Siri, things that apps can do. Mm-hmm. I'll get to that in a sec. And okay. Yeah, because there's a third thing. Siri will suggest. So say every morning you check your news app or something like this, or you put on the Cult of Mac, the Cultcast, while you're having your breakfast.
Every morning, so you listen to it six times a week.
There's a guy who came up with a shortcut that does this. Every morning when he gets into his car, it starts playing music. But if it's Friday, it starts playing the Cultcast. So there you go. There's a practical thing.
That is one practical use. I would argue one of the most practical uses
It's probably what it was made for.
And I have a practical use too. I figured out how to create a Siri shortcut so I could send money to my dad. You know, every once in a while I send money to my dad. Like, he buys stuff for me, I buy stuff from him or for him. And we have to pay each other back all the time. So with PayPal, I can just use a command. It will automatically load the PayPal app, populate his data, and I can just send him money right away.
Whenever he comes around to your house, does he just keep saying, "Hey Siri, send money to Irfan's dad"?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't know the shortcut, and he doesn't know how to use iOS. So
you should keep that one quiet.
He doesn't even know what Siri shortcuts is. Yeah. So I'm safe.
Until he's listened to this one.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think he listens to the show.
Good.
In fact, I'm not even sure he knows I do a podcast. I've told him before, but even the idea of a podcast for a lot of older people is not something that they understand. They don't know what a podcast is. And no,
they probably think you're bringing shame on the family.
Well, I definitely am doing that in many ways. But now I just tell people it's like an internet radio show. So that, boom, they say, oh gosh, it's on-demand radio. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. He still doesn't listen. But anyway, what were we talking about? Siri shortcuts,
yeah. So okay. Yeah, so if you go into the Siri in the settings, there's a bunch of if Siri sees that you're checking the news every morning with the same news app, then it will have a suggestion in there to like open that news app, and depending on how deeply integrated the app is, it might even let you open it to a certain category like top stories or I don't know, sports if you're into that. And then it prompts you to record a shortcut, which is a voice shortcut, and you say and it even suggests something for you, and you just you say the shortcut, you record the shortcut into it, and then from then on, when you start Siri, you can say something like "read news," and it will open up your news app, or "read sports news," and it will open up your news app on the sports page. So that's
I hadn't even really played around with this yet. So yeah, in the settings app, or if you go into the Siri or to the Siri app, you can set different shortcuts. There's all sorts of useful stuff in here too.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to just have a look through it and get an idea. Yeah. Like anything like this, don't try a million of them at once because you're going to forget all the shortcuts. So just try one or two, and then if that sticks, then you can add more. It's like learning keyboard shortcuts on the Mac. If you try and remember them all at once, you don't remember any of them.
And you want to make sure they're useful too.
Yeah, exactly.
That you're actually going to use them.
So yeah, I'll give you. The third category is kind of that apps can now provide actions to Siri. So they actually show up in this section we're looking at now, in the Siri and Search section in the iOS settings app. If you scroll down, you'll see all the apps that are, and next to them is written if they do Siri and suggestions. So if you look through, you can click on or tap on any of those and it will show you, you know, what they offer. And some of them offer like deep. So, for instance, there's a camera app called Halide, and if you like, you can tell it to take a photo. So when the app, so you just stick your camera on a tripod, your iPhone on a tripod, and you say, "Take a photo," if you have to set this up, and then it will take a photo. And that's specific to the app. That's something that the app has provided to iOS to let it kind of get deep inside it and control it.
So it looks like a lot of apps still don't support shortcuts yet?
No, they don't.
They're still working them in. Oh, let's see if Nudifier Nope, no shortcuts for Nudifier. Yeah, I still got it on my phone. I mean, still there. You probably don't even know what Nudifier is, do you?
Is it for, I don't know, is it like to remind you to feed your pet nudes?
I'll send you a Nudifier pic later. How about that? Okay. You'll know exactly what it is as soon as I send it to you.
Wait. Yeah, I do remember this. I saw this when we were in Las Vegas for CES.
That's right.
Yeah, you were giving everybody large nudes.
I don't think that this app has been updated since Las Vegas. It's been like years, but it works perfectly.
It's already perfect.
It's already perfect. There's no need to update it. Yeah. Although they probably need to make it, you know, compatible with the different size screens on all the different iPhones. But other than that, unfortunately, no shortcuts for that one. Okay. I hadn't even looked at this section. So we're still, for those who are wondering, we're still inside the settings app under Siri. And if you scroll all the way to the bottom, you can see all these different apps that, well, some of them are compatible with shortcuts. It looks like most of them still are not. But a lot of people are building in shortcuts support, I think. So yeah, I mean, hopefully this will start always to be more useful.
Yeah, it doesn't always make sense. Like there's an RSS like news app that I use called Fiery Feeds, which is great. And it's just added a shortcut where you can launch it to either to different accounts. So say you've got like your Instapaper account and your Newsblur feed reader account. And so you say, like, hey, Siri, open my, you know, whatever your shortcut is. And I don't know if that's particularly useful, because if you're going to read the thing, you don't need to open it with Siri. You just open it.
Right. Some of these seem like they wouldn't actually be all that useful. But before we talk about useful ways to use shortcuts and Siri shortcuts, is there anything else we should know about this particular aspect of shortcuts, or should we move into the shortcuts app?
I'm sure there's a bit more, but that's the most important parts of it we've covered.
Okay. So shortcuts app seems to be much more powerful, but it's also much harder to understand. I mean, I was looking through it and I really couldn't figure out what to do with it that would actually be useful in my own life.
If you just look at it, well, it's fun. It's kind of neat to just look at it and see what's possible. But it's much more useful if you have something, if you notice you're doing something quite often on your phone or your iPad, and then you think, okay, maybe I want to automate this. Like you might on the Mac with Automator or AppleScript, mm-hmm. if you're old school. So like, for instance, I have, when I take a screenshots to write how-tos for on Cult of Mac, I like to make it the screenshot nice. So it's an iPhone X or XS screenshot. And instead of just sticking that blank screenshot on the page, I want to put a frame around it that looks like the handset of the phone. So, and you can do that manually in Photoshop, but it takes forever. But in the Siri shortcuts, it's a pretty, right, let me open that one up so I can look at the steps of it. It's on the site. I've written about this this week or last week.
If you send me a link to it, I'll include it in the show notes.
Yeah, so you can download that. But what it does is it grabs the latest screenshot. So when I run it, you can run your shortcuts in different ways. You can run them by telling Siri. You can run them. I'll go through this one and you'll see. So when I run it by going to the lock screen, there's a little lock screen widget, and you can just tap on the shortcut there. It's got a list of the ones you want to have on the lock screen widget. So I just tap that, and then it grabs the latest screenshot. It grabs an iPhone frame, like that's already matched to the size of my screenshots of the iPhone XS. Mm-hmm. Then it makes a mask, which pretty much cuts out the notch and the rounded corners of of my screenshot, and then it overlays one on the other. So it overlays the screenshot on top of the frame, but because the mask corners have been cut out, you know it looks correct. And then it resizes it, renames it for me, and then saves it into my iCloud drive. And
that's it's insane. That's a lot of complex steps.
But that exactly. But it's like all you have to do is press the play button and it just does it.
So you press the play button. You said you have it set so that you have an icon on your lock screen that you can access.
It's on the today screen. You know, when you swipe right, yeah. There's a widget there. I could do it by voice as well, but I think that would be pretty useless. And you can also set it if you want. Instead of it automatically grabbing the last screenshot, maybe I'd want to choose the screenshot and have it run then. So you know how when you go into the Photos app, you can share a photo and you can mm-hmm. share it to various apps and you can share it to messages or whatever. you can also share it to shortcuts. And when you tap that, it pops up and shows you every shortcut that you have that works. If you're in the Photos app, every shortcut that works with a photo or a video. And then you just, so you can access it that way. You can also access it anywhere there's a share arrow, like inside Safari or inside, I don't know, Pages or something like this. Anytime you can share a file or an item, you can share it to shortcuts and act on it.
So what applications are involved in that particular shortcut? Because it seems like it would have to be Photoshop or, I mean, what's creating the masks? What applications are you using?
There's a bunch of, well, I created the mask using Acorn on my Mac. But that's okay. But once the mask is made, it's done. It's like it's just a PNG file with an image file with black, you know, then black and white. It's just an image mask.
So then Shortcuts is able to combine those two images.
Yeah, Shortcuts does all the work. So all of this happens inside Shortcuts. Once you've set it up, and I have the background picture and the mask are in an iCloud Drive folder, so they're always available, and it just grabs them. Because you can't like leave the pictures inside a shortcut, I don't think. So yeah, it just grabs those, but it all takes place within. You don't sit in front of the iPad and it just kind of opens lots of different apps and like all flashing in front of you, like a
Photoshop
movie.
Action or something.
Yeah. Photoshop action.
Like it just does it all for you and presents you the final product.
Yeah, exactly. And it shows you the stages running through. But yeah, it works all inside. And if you go into the Shortcuts app, you'll see down if you tap the button to create a new shortcut, you get a blank like canvas where all your steps will go, and on the left there's a list. On the iPhone, it's I'm looking at my iPad now because it's easy to see everything. But if you're on the iPhone, it works the same way.
Okay.
But there's a long list of actions you can use. But that's not all of them. If you tap in the search bar at the top, just tap in it, then magically you don't have to actually.
It took me like 30 minutes to figure this out. By the way, this is not intuitive.
No,
at all.
It's ridiculous. But Apple's always like that with its like pro level apps. Because they want to keep it looking simple and easy to use, maybe for a beginner. Like GarageBand on the iPad is amazing, but when you first come to use it, it's like using a PC. You want to throw your iPad across the room. It's just until you've learned how to do it, it's super super frustrating. But you don't even have to type anything into the search bar. You just tap into the search bar, and then suddenly, loads more things appear. And
so typing into the search bar brings up a whole list of items that you can include in your shortcut. You don't even have to search for anything. Totally makes sense.
And they're by categories. You got by photos, by mail, by things you can do with Safari. Some of your apps might appear in there. Things is in there. Trello is in there. People use that. Also, if you tap Siri suggestions in that list, then you see all of those neat suggestions that were in the settings app we were looking at before. All the things that Siri notices that you do often, or all the actions that apps will provide.
So this is like the AI powered.
Yeah, because
this is AI powered suggestions.
Yeah,
right. It's learning what you do.
Exactly. Plus, if it's got that, but it's also kind of mixed in. So there's the things that the fiery feeds here. It's read something. I've got open read something open last account. The thing I was telling you about before that wasn't so useful, but in the context of making one of these kind of shortcuts, I'll call it a workflow because just to differentiate for now. But one of these where you put all the steps together. Some of those actions that aren't so useful to trigger by talking to Siri might be useful to use here. Like, I might want to have a good morning shortcut that I make, a workflow, and it will, I don't know, turn on the lights if I have HomeKit or something like that. Maybe turn on the kettle so I can make a nice cup of tea. Then maybe check my email, load up my feed reader. You could put several steps in and it will run them all. And one of the last one could be open up my feed reader to my favorite page of my favorite sports team. I don't like sports, by the way.
I was gonna say, wait, your favorite sports team? What?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me back out for a moment because I feel like I have a more well-rounded understanding of the entire landscape of shortcuts here. So, if you go into the settings app and you go into Siri, you can create shortcuts for specific apps. That's where you would create a shortcut for creating a PayPal payment or I don't know, an action within another app that you use.
Yeah.
And Shortcuts, the app, yeah, allows you to loop or string together actions from different apps and create a whole series of actions into one complex workflow.
Exactly. Or, yeah, or simple. But, it can even be a simple workflow. With just a couple of steps. I read about one this week where somebody didn't like that you couldn't see who's favorited your tweet. So they made a workflow that just loads the page of that tweet, like the favorites page, and it shows you who's favorited your tweet. So it's a two-step.
Can you just do that in Twitter?
Maybe you can do it in the Twitter app, but use Tweetbot, and they cut out a lot of these things.
Man, I know. Don't even get me started. They ruined Tweetbot. It's not their fault either. Twitter completely ruined Tweetbot. It's terrible.
Twitter ruined everything, including the world.
I know. Yeah, I'm not going to argue with you there, actually. You might be right. Yeah, and I had to move over to Twitter because eventually I just got tired of all the features that I got used to using, and Tweetbot got pulled out. And you couldn't see any stats on your tweets. I'm looking at my tweet stats all day. If I spend, 2 hours crafting the perfect tweet, I need to see that people liked it.
Hand-carved tweets.
Custom whittled by me. Yeah, sometimes I spend all day. I'll sit there iterating. It might take me 6 hours to create one tweet. But, you've seen my
tweets. And it's always worth it. Every time I read one, it really shows. That quality shows.
I get like 7 favorites on it, and I'm like, yes.
You're like the Johnny Ive of Twitter.
You know what? You said it, not me.
You can keep that. You can put that in your
Twitter bio.
in your Twitter bio.
I'm doing that. Hey, you know what I'm wearing right now too?
I don't want to know.
A black V-neck.
Very nice.
Although this one's like $20, and the one Johnny Ive
is it a little bit too? Is the V a little bit too deep? So it's just showing a little bit too much of chest.
It's not just a little bit too deep.
Does it go down to your navel?
It's a deep V.
Have you got a Series 1 edition watch hanging around like a medallion around your neck?
I haven't even considered doing that, but that's a great idea. Yeah. Really adds a lot of flair to the outfit, I think. Yeah, so Shortcuts.
You want some examples of cool shortcuts, right? We were talking about Shortcuts.
We were. I think we did a good job explaining how it's used, the premises for how to use them, or how Shortcuts can be used. So now tell me, practical purposes. So you gave me the example of patching those images together, using them for your workflow. But what else you got for me? Because that's even that is kind of complex and esoteric. Most people aren't going to be able to use that in their own life. Do you have any like just layman's shortcuts that people might find useful?
Layman shortcuts. Let me tell you about a really funny shortcut which we wrote about a week or so ago. Maybe people have read about it, but it really shows how much this can do. So that a guy came up, if he gets pulled over by the cops, I guess this must happen to him fairly often if he made a shortcut for it. Maybe he should work on his driving skills. But if he says, "Hey Siri, I'm getting pulled over," then the phone, I think, mutes itself, dims the screen, starts a video recording, and sends an SMS to somebody of his choice.
His lawyer.
I'm saying I'm being pulled over. Mm-hmm. And then it records the encounter. And then when he picks up the phone or when he presses tap stop, then it uploads automatically the video to iCloud Drive or sends it to somebody.
Dude, paranoid much? Jeez.
Jeez. But it's kind of a neat example of what you can do with it. You know, it's not just like resizing pictures and, uploading things to web servers.
That's one of the reasons why I find it kind of tricky to talk about shortcuts is because it's so powerful.
It can do anything.
It's like a piano. You know, there's all these different keys on there and you could string those keys to make any melody that you want. And everyone's going to make their own different kinds of melodies. Mm-hmm. So everyone uses the shortcuts in a way that's most useful for them. How do you like that analogy?
I love it.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
I just came up with that now.
You're so good at that.
On the fly. The Johnny Ive of analogies, you could say. So what are some other ones that you use then? Maybe they aren't going to be practical for other people, but things that you actually use shortcuts for.
Okay, there's one when I'm playing a guitar and I come up with an awesome riff, I don't want to, stop playing to record it. to pick up my phone. So I can say, hey, Siri, record this. And it fires up the voice memo app and starts recording.
That's great.
Yeah, that's really, really handy because you can, there's no, but the only thing is you have to have your phone unlocked or your iPad unlocked for that to work. But with, if you've got if you've got an iPhone with Face ID, you can just kind of leave it where you can see it and give it a wink, like a Zoolander look from across
the
room.
That's the key.
That's the key.
That's the secret key to get it unlocked faster, I heard.
But that one's really good. And you can set that to stop recording after a minute or when there's a few more options. There's another one I use quite a lot. If I'm, again, for learning guitar, if there's a video of a song I want to learn, I want to download that from YouTube. I don't want to go back and forth. I have an app where I can slow down the videos. So it's just a shortcut. You don't say anything. You inside Safari, you tap to share. And then you tap the download YouTube shortcut, and it runs through and it finds where the video is, downloads it, and puts it in your iCloud drive or your Dropbox or wherever you want it. So it actually lets you download a YouTube video to your iPhone right there without having to use a computer or anything like this.
I just thought of another great one. My dream has always been to have an automated front door lock. I don't currently have one. I just got a new front door, actually.
Because my
old
secure.
One was... What's that?
Nothing could go wrong. Nothing could go wrong.
With having an automated door lock?
Yeah, you'd say, yeah. You'd be like, hey, Siri.
I know.
Send a message to my, I don't know, send some money to my dad and accidentally opens your door when you're, halfway across the world.
Well, my dream is to come home and have my door unlocked without me doing anything, which right now you can't do that. You have to go up to your door. Even with HomeKit, you have to go up to your door. And you have to enter a code or something to get the door to unlock. Now, I suppose you could create a geofence and have it unlock your door when you get home. But the geofences in HomeKit aren't reliable. And sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. In fact, I had a huge problem with my Arlo cam alarms going off when I was here. And it's deafening, So it made me really paranoid. I stopped using geofence because it didn't know that I was here. And it would just go off while I was sitting here, scaring me half to death and making me, get tinnitus for 2 days afterwards. So I was thinking a shortcut could be, hey, Siri, I'm home. I'm looking down. I was waiting for that. I was waiting for that. I'm sitting in front of two HomePods and my iPhone. And have it turn on my lights and then unlock my door for me so I could just come in, not have to touch the door. How do you like that one?
That one's cool.
Plus, it will probably send my dad $100.
Yeah, you could add that in there every time you arrive home. You can also have it send a message. So you could have it send a message to somebody that you're home. You can also have it pause. So you could say, hey, Siri, I'm home. And it turns on your lights and, I don't know, your heating or whatever. You have heating in Seattle, right? Yeah, you need it.
We need it too. Yeah, I think the weather here is a lot like how it is in Berlin.
Mm-hmm. Rainy.
So very rainy, very cloudy, and cold. You definitely shouldn't move here. No one else should move here because the weather's terrible, and you should go someplace sunny.
Someplace sunny.
But I also have a HomeKit-enabled thermostat, which is terrible. It's one of the worst gadgets I've ever used in my entire life. We talked about this last show. It's the Ecobee. It's just awful. Just awful. And anyway, it probably wouldn't work. My heating wouldn't come on. It would probably just not work, or the AC would come on or something.
Or turn the place into a sauna when you're out.
Yeah. And exactly. It would turn the heat off because the heat would have been on while I was gone. The house would be like 140 degrees and my gas bill would be like $3,000. But other than that, I'm sure the lights would come on. The Philips Hue lights are great. They always work reliably.
So there you go. But so that's neat. I mean, and also being able to switch it. Well, this is just HomeKit stuff, but having to, being able to switch it off when you leave as well without having to think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And being able to control your lights when you're not at home, and you can program them, especially with HomeKit, you can program them. Did you literally just say this, to switch on and off while you're not there?
I said when you leave the house. So technically you're still almost there. So it's not the same thing.
All right, good. So like, let's say you go on a vacation, you can have your lights turn on and off at different day or at different times on different days to make it look like you're there, which we've had, before. So there's a lot of cool things that you can do with HomeKit lights. Plus, just being able to control your lights. Like I said, when you're not there, you can boot up the HomeKit app and you can turn on the lights in your kitchen. I mean, how cool is that? I don't know why that would be useful, but you could do it. Maybe you have guests coming over and they don't know how to turn the lights on in your house because all your lights are smart lights.
Yeah, because you don't have any totally switches confused. Anymore.
Exactly. Exactly. You have, well, what they do is they come over and they use your actual switches, which turns off all the lights because they're trying to be considerate. And then you can't control your lights anymore because all the switches are turned off.
And then they never get invited back to your house. And then you live alone.
And then I defriend them. Yeah. And I, you know, never speak with them again. So that would be a useful shortcut. What else you got for us?
Okay.
Any other useful ones that you have?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you can do real simple stuff. Like if you keep a shopping list in your Notes app, you can just say, "Hey Siri, show me my shopping list," and it would just open up Notes with that there. Mm-hmm. So there's real simple stuff. The voice memo one's good. And then there's an app called City Mapper. Do you use it?
No, I haven't.
It's the best. If you wanted like for public transport or for riding bikes or even for driving, if that's your thing. Then it's like a navigation app, but it's really, really good.
And it's called City Mapper?
City Mapper, yeah. It works per city, and it doesn't really give you anything that other like navigation apps don't, but it just does it so well. It's so easy to use. And they have, so you can say, "Hey Siri, get me home," and it will give you a route home from where you are now. You can already do that by like 3D touching the icon. There's another one that they just added. Something you say, it gives you the destinations of the nearest like metro stop or bus stop or railway stop or something like this. So you say, "Hey Siri," whatever your shortcut is, "show me departures." And it shows you all of it just right there on the lock screen. It doesn't open the app. Right there on the lock screen, it shows you a list of the departures. So
holy moly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I live near a tram stop. Well, it's Berlin. I live near all kinds of public transport. But it just if I say that, departures, and it shows me. And it's like, okay, that tram, it goes in like 10 minutes. So I leave the house in, you know, I can leave the house in 5 minutes and I'll be cool. So that's an example of it when it's one of these integrated into the app and it's really useful to use with voice. So City Map is cool.
One of the things I find to be really useful with shortcuts, and this will be something that's fleshed out, I think, once more apps build in shortcut support, is being able to surface actions from within the app. And I know I've talked about the PayPal example 10 times already, but that's a great example because that is something that you would have to open the app, go into a specific part of the app, fill out a specific part of the app, and then hit send money. And the shortcut is able to do all that, you know, with one simple command. So it actually saves you time. And the cool thing is the PayPal app is what actually suggested I create a shortcut. Once I paid my dad and I was on iOS 12, it was like, "Would you like to create a shortcut based on this action?" So I was like, "Sure, why not?" And poof, I had that shortcut available and now I can use that functionality quickly.
Yeah.
So I hope more apps are able to surface functionality from within the app and make it available to shortcuts so that you can create shortcuts that actually save you time and not just do cool stuff, but enable you to do complex stuff from within the app with one simple voice command.
Exactly. Cause that's not complex. You just want to say, "Pay my dad like $10 or something. So that for you, that's not a complex thing. You just want it to do that. It's pretty obvious what you want it to do, but maybe it's complex for the machine to work all that out. But exactly, that's the neat thing about the Siri shortcuts part, the suggestions, is that it kind of takes care of the difficult part for you. When we were talking about, you know, making a shortcut together and dragging all the actions in, that's super powerful. But it's not many people are going to do it. Maybe like Coldcast listeners, you know, all our nerd friends out there. Are going to do that, but in general,
definitely, yeah. Yeah,
but in general, I guess not many people are going to use that. But like you say, if you can just say, you know, "Show me the destinations of the, you know, the nearest metro stop or pay somebody," and remember as well, you can take these deep functions that go like dig inside the app, and you can use those in your workflow type shortcuts. You know, when you're putting stuff together, so you could have your pay your dad thing as part of something else. You could have it like I'm trying to think now. I don't know. You could have like a long workflow that does something else, but as part of it, it pays him. You know, you could have one that like pays, splits a bill depending on something, and then pays each person a certain amount of money. Like say if you're in a you're having dinner, and like they've like okay, you like this is in reverse because say I've paid and then I have to pay everybody else back for it, and that doesn't work. But you know, I'm That's not very
like, good. Let's say, yeah, I get what you're saying, but yeah, that is reverse, huh? Because they would have to pay you.
Yeah.
So that would work.
They would love that one. They would love that.
Yeah, you'd
twice.
Be
free
a
dinner.
Great friend if you did it the other way around. If you paid and then you paid them their share that they were supposed to have paid.
Oops.
Yeah. No wonder I'm poor all the time. So is there anything else that you think is worth mentioning?
There's one thing from an app called Sky Guide, which I haven't used, but I read about this when I was doing a bit of extra research for our chat. And if it's one of these things where you, like an AR app, where you point it up at the sky and it shows you where the stars are.
I've heard of this one.
And it's kind of neat now because it actually looks at the sky and orients itself because the phone knows where it is and it can see the stars. So it kind of, if you say, what star is that? And point it at something, and then it just tells you. Which is kind of neat. You just point your phone up at the sky or a satellite or a planet. I don't know if you're going to really see a planet, or if you are, you're not going to have, if you can see a planet, you probably don't have very good internet connection.
Yeah. Not very many of those out there either.
But yeah, so that was kind of a neat thing.
So you could point your phone at the sky and say, what star is that? What constellation is that? Maybe?
Yeah, and it tells you. I just realized it could just say that on the screen. So maybe you don't need to ask it.
I know that's a thing. Some of the shortcuts are redundant. You really don't need the functionality in shortcuts because it's available in the app and it's easier to use it in the app than it is to bark out an order. Especially because you have to say, hey Siri. I'm not going to say it loudly because I don't want my HomePod to start listening to me again. But that's one of the things I love about the Apple Watch Series 4 is it has the Raise to Siri, I guess. What do you call it? The Raise. It's not Raise to Speak. It's Raise to Siri.
I like the fact
that you don't have to say, hey, Siri. You can just raise it and immediately start giving it an order. I think that's much more useful. How lazy am I? I don't want to say those two words. I really don't. That's one of the reasons why I find myself more inclined to speak to my ECHO, my Amazon product.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's just one word instead of two.
And it also works, no?
Well, it works, yeah.
And then it sends everything you're saying to Amazon service so they can send you ads for more things. That's how it works, right? That's a feature,
yeah.
Right?
And the NSA, yeah. I do tend to trust Amazon more than I trust Google and Facebook. Definitely more than I trust Facebook. Like, they just came out with that new camera.
Yeah.
I would never put one of those in my house. I
thought I was reading The Onion when I read that.
Is that not totally insane?
It's ridiculous.
With all the amount of data they're slurping in already, and then they want to have all your voice controls too. And
well, I think it's even got a little flap on it so you can obscure that. Like, so the whole point of this thing is it's a camera and a screen and a microphone, right, for doing like video chats, which you can already do with your phone or your iPad or your or anything. But so that's what it does. And but you can disable the camera with it, and it's like, oh yeah, you can press the button to turn the camera off. But if you don't trust that, they know you're not going to trust them. But if you don't trust that, then you can. There's this little flap that you can put over the camera. I think that's I think there's a flap on there.
the Facebook flap.
The Facebook flap.
I didn't know that.
That's what this device should be called.
Did you know that you probably heard this, that Mark Zuckerberg keeps a piece of tape over his camera?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he keeps a pair of headphones that have the wire snipped in his headphone jack.
Wow.
But he wants to put a camera in your house.
Yeah, wants to put a camera in your house. What could go wrong? It's like they saw everybody making like virtual assistants and thought, oh, we need some of this. But they thought, a camera and microphone in people's houses, fantastic. But
yeah,
how can we do this without having to bother to make a Siri or an Alexa? We just won't put that in. We'll just say it's for video conferencing. Yeah, there you go. And then we can sell it.
I would be surprised if this thing sold very well because, like you said, a lot of the functionality is duplicated in your phone. And are people so invested in Facebook that they're willing to buy a discrete piece of hardware just to have a Facebook conversation with their other friends?
The timing is so off because it's like Facebook is, I mean, there's always something going on with a Facebook privacy scandal. But right now, people are really, like, really annoyed with them. They just lost, another 50 million? Well, they let another 50 million people get hacked. And of course, we're going to find out in a week that it's 200 million. You know,
I don't even know. I don't even use Facebook anymore. No. It's not for me. You know, my aha moment with them when I decided to stop using the service was when I found out they were doing experiments on people in the timeline, and they were showing people news that would make them sad or happy to affect their moods. Mm. And I was like, I did not sign up for that. No. I'm not trying to have Mark Zuckerberg poking me with needles to affect my mood. I just wanted to see what my friends were up to. But the other thing too, I mean, Facebook is, it's more popular than ever, I feel like. But also, I feel like no one that I know is actually using it. So I wonder who's actually using Facebook now, because a lot of the younger folks have abandoned it just because it's not really that cool anymore and it's been around for so long. Is it just grandparents now? I think it might just be grandparents.
It's just that. Just the, yeah. I who knows? It's true. People, well, I know a lot of people who still use it. I mean, I'm here in Berlin. I have a lot of friends who are foreign, you know, as in, you know, not German. So they are living here and they're keeping in touch with people back home and stuff like this. But I don't know. I mean, I think I had an account once, but I haven't had it for years.
So you're telling me it's the Germans that are keeping it alive?
No, they're very privacy conscious here, but they still use it. I mean, people, because the thing is, that's where people share like photos, baby photos, family photos. I mean, that's the thing, no? I mean, for all the fun that you can have reading fake news and, you know, having your country taken over by fascists, the real reason that people use it is to like see baby photos.
Uh-huh. See baby photos of your Antifa friends?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, your cool Antifa friends were there. Yeah. Yeah, the hipster babies.
See what your Antifa friends are up to. Like, they can show you the pictures of the car that they burned that weekend. Yeah. They can show you their bandana collection, all the bandanas they use across their face. Yeah. You're not a member of Antifa, are you?
I
have to admit, you could pull off the Antifa look. You're real tall. You're real skinny.
Is that what you have to look like?
You look like you like to hit people with clubs.
I mean, who doesn't enjoy a good workout?
Well, that's a good point. I enjoy good clubbing as much as the next guy, but yeah, well, yeah, I don't have the Antifa look.
Good clubbing at the weekend?
Yeah, that's what they do. Yeah, exactly. You know, the Antifa guys, they love going to the club.
They love going clubbing.
Yeah, okay, well, is there anything else that we should talk about with Siri Shortcuts and Shortcuts, or should we just call it good there?
No, I mean, you can find a whole bunch of, if you search on the Co-op Mac site, you can find lots of, search under workflows as well, because I've got all of the workflows that used to work still work. Well, almost all of them.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Oh, one last question before we wrap up too. So the gallery in the Shortcuts app.
Yeah.
Have you found anything useful in there? Because I've been scrolling through it and I haven't found anything that I thought was worth installing/downloading.
No,
I don't even know the nomenclature for it. What is it?
I guess
using.
Installing, I guess it would be. Using. I mean, you're a user. I haven't really found anything useful in there. And it kind of gives you an idea of what's possible, but there are other places you can get them from. Like you can share if you've made a cool shortcut, you can share it to other people. You can send it via email, or you can get a link to it and it sits in iCloud and people can just tap the link and it shows up in their Shortcuts app and it gives them a preview of all the steps. So you can check that it's not going to do something nasty, like, you know, start deleting. Well, you have to confirm to delete stuff, but you know.
Sending the original creator money from your PayPal account.
For instance. Exactly. That kind of stuff. I mean, it could happen, right? So
I don't know. Could it happen? That's a great question.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Let me look into that, and then I'll put it up on the Co-op Mac, and then see how many people send me PayPal money. I'll have them send it to you, Alfonso, so you get in trouble.
That sounds great. I'll declare ignorance, but keep the money.
Very good.
I'll be like, I don't know what happened to that money. We should continue this conversation in the Governor's Lounge. Are you familiar with the Cult Club?
I'm not.
You're not. Well, I can get you in. Let me tell you, the invitations have been closed off. And we've got a lot of members in there. We're having a great time. How do you feel about rich Italian silk robes?
Oh, beautiful.
Okay. Well, I'll get you one of those. We'll get you your own Cult Club fez. And we can continue this conversation in the Cult Club, because I feel like we're just getting started with Siri Shortcuts here in Shortcuts. It feels like it's just early days. And there's a lot of stuff that's going to happen in this part of iOS, and it's exciting. It's a powerful app.
Yeah.
Powerful API.
Yeah, it's amazing. And if they don't like kind of just ignore it, like they have done with, you know, AppleScript and Automator on the Mac, then it could be fantastic.
That's a great point. Apple has in the past released things and then let them stagnate, never to be updated again.
Yeah, like music, Mac Mini, Music Memos app.
Mac Pro. Yeah, Music Memos app, another good example. All right, Charlie, let's wrap it up there.
Yeah, let's do it.
Thanks for coming on. We need to have you back on, especially now that I know you have a decent mic.
Yeah, I bought it just for you.
Did you?
No, it was in the back of a drawer. Just, you know, it's been so long. I dusted it off just for you. How's that?
Hey, now I remember why we don't have you on. Get off my show.
Okay, sorry.
Get the hell off my show.
Goodbye. Okay,